chromosomes. Little strands of nucleic acids and proteins are the fundamental genetic instructions that tell us who we are at birth. Most people are born with 46 chromosomes, but each year in the United States, about 6,000 people are born with an extra chromosome, making them a person with Down syndrome. If you've ever encountered someone with Down syndrome, you know that they are some of the kindest, most joyful people you will ever meet. They truly have something extra. My name is Lisa Nichols, and I have spent the last 24 years as both the CEO of Technology Partners and as the mother to Allie. Allie has something extra in every sense of the word. I have been blessed to be by her side as she impacts everyone she meets. Through these two important roles as CEO and mother to Allie, I have witnessed countless life lessons that have fundamentally changed the way I look at the world. While you may not have an extra chromosome, every leader has something extra that defines who you are. Join me as I explore the something extra in leaders from all walks of life and discover how that difference in each of them has made a difference in their companies, their families, their communities, and in themselves. I am delighted to have my friend Matthew Porter on the show today. Matthew is a father to three amazing kids, Avery, Gabe, and Owen. He's a husband to a phenomenal woman, Courtney, geek, trail runner, ultra marathoner, and entrepreneur. He currently is serving as the president and CTO of Empower Me. If you like this episode today, please go to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen and leave us a 5-star rating. Well, Matthew, I am so excited about this conversation today. For those of you who do not know Matthew, we are so honored to have him here. This guy featured in the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, under 40 entrepreneur inducted into SLU's Alumni Hall of Fame. You know, he sat on panel with cybersecurity experts from the White House. Serial entrepreneur, trail runner, all of these things. But you know what, Matthew? I love how you say, you know, who you are. Because here's what you say. You say, I'm a husband. I'm a dad. I mean, you start with those things. And I know family is so important. I know your family has a life mission. I want to talk about that. But you know what? You're a big deal. You are a big deal, and I'm just honored to have you here today to share your wisdom and insight with our listeners.
Well, Lisa, I'm honored to be here, and at some point, somebody's got to do a reverse interview with you to kind of give you that embarrassment for everything that you've done for not only in your personal life, but in the business life. So, you know, I'm always up to be the one on the other side of this mic to do that with you.
Well, I'm excited about our conversation. And you and I know each other. I always like to say, how are we connected? Because I want people to understand you never know where you're going to meet people, right? But you got to get out there to meet them. But Matthew and I are connected through EO and YPO first, and then, you know, lots of other connection points after that. But, you know, I want to talk a little bit about how you grew up. Tell us a little bit about your family, and in particular, I want you to talk about your grandfather.
So, grew up in North County, based here in St. Louis. For those of you that aren't aware of the area, North County is middle to low income area. Loved my life, absolutely loved my life growing up. Have four stepsisters that I grew up with that were with us through most of the time. Because my mom and my biological father got divorced at a very early age, and my mom got remarried. So I all of a sudden got four sisters. And then a few years later, I got a little brother. And we grew up in modest means, but happy means. That actually played long term in my life later on. It's a beautiful thing that I don't think I appreciated enough at the time. And we weren't unhappy. We were happy. We played. We did all the fun stuff that kids do. It's all the stuff that makes you happy in your life. With that said, the one extravagance, and this is kind of what I think you're hinting at, is at 6 years old, my grandfather, who didn't make much money, spent about a fifth of his salary on buying me a computer. Bought me an Apple IIe. For those of you in the St. Louis metropolitan area, you know that there was this place in the 80s called Crazy Dave's, and it was in South County, and they sold computers. And my grandfather bought it and gave it to me and spent $6,000 in the he probably made $25,000 a year. My vivid memory of this is my grandmother just shaking her head, saying it's not about the money, but asking my grandfather, like, I don't understand what's going on here. Is he going to become a typist? Because that was an actual job in the early 80s.
Right.
And he set me on a path that I didn't realize that was going to be available. He said, he's a smart kid. He's smart at math. He thinks logically. He needs a creative outlet. And that is what I picked up.
That's just so amazing. And just so plays into what you did. We'll get into that, you know, in terms of what you majored in and then going on to be the serial entrepreneur that you are and the companies that you have founded. But I love that story, Matthew. And I just think about your grandfather having that foresight to see this little kid, he's good at math. You know, we can do something with this if we inspire him at an early age. And it just sets you on a path. And so it really inspires me to say we should be looking for those something extras in people and then do what we can to nourish those and to encourage those things. So I want you just to tell a little bit, though, because you and I have talked about this a little bit. You went through some hard times. And I want you to tell our listeners, because, you know, anybody that knows you now, Matthew, would say, wow, I mean, the guy completely changed his life. But talk to us a little bit about that, if you would.
So I grew up being actually fairly overweight as a kid and had the weight fluctuations that can occur that aren't just normal for, you know, as you grow up, and aren't just normal as puberty. As a kid growing up in grade school, and people will be surprised that I'll actually talk about this, but I think that's also the power in it. When your name's Matt and you are overweight, kids are not creative necessarily, but they can be cruel. And so I was the fatty Matty kid. I just wasn't happy in that situation. I grew up with that. And, you know, one of six kids in a family, changing schools, it was just a very, very difficult for me to find my way. And then being the geeky kid who didn't want to go outside and wanted to just hack on a computer and deal with things like modems and figure out how to rewire it when your parents think you're addicted to the computer and they take the power cord and you go get a book on electrical engineering at 8 years old.
Oh my goodness.
And writing software as a kid. I mean, I found my creative outlet. It took till later on for me to actually find my physical creative outlet in terms of my health and my condition. It was definitely an adversity that I had to overcome. I mean, to be blunt, I still have the echoes of that. That's something that becomes so cemented in my personality and my perspective as a kid. I have to be conscious of that, even as an adult at 44 years old. It's very vulnerable. I don't think I've ever publicly talked about this like this, but I'm happy to.
I mean, I'm so glad that you are, because I think that age is really difficult. I mean, we just went through something with our grandson, and a child had said something not very nice to him. I mean, it's hard at that age, right? It is, and your identity and figuring out who you are. But, you know, I mean, I know, like, now you're 44 and you can look back on that, Matthew, and say, it's not about how we look. It's about what's on the inside, right? But at that age, it's hurtful. And so, you know, we just tried to talk to him about empathy. Well, you know how that made you feel. So if you ever see somebody being unkind to another child, you know, make sure you step in and be the one to stop that. But those lessons are hard. I'm still learning lessons, you know?
Yeah. I think it's not just time that adds to it. It's age and it's perspective of what's happened for me. What I've come to learn is that oftentimes when you're younger and you're trying to figure out who you are, I don't have doubts that those kids were going through their own pain.
Absolutely.
And it was something completely invisible to me. And now I look back and say, oh my, if they were so willing to do that, what was the pain that they were going through? Because I feel like when I was younger, and I see this at kids, my kids, when they were younger, thankfully as teenagers, they've kind of outgrown this and they've learned better. And hopefully it's because of my wife and me, but they wanted to inflict pain. They wanted take pain and make it very, very contagious. It's not healthy to be the one-eyed man on Blind Island. And yet I look back at what was probably happening to me, getting picked on, getting bullied, and that was it. And there's a great woman named Dr. Karen Gordon who talks a lot about this, about how this actually works between what she calls the blind and the disguise. and that's the bully and the bullied. And they actually have this symbiotic relationship.
Yes.
Because the bullied says, I'm not a good person. I don't deserve anything good. The bully says, I'm better than everybody else. And so they end up in this symbiotic relationship where the bullies, obviously the bullied, that reaffirms that position. Because the bullied doesn't fight back, it reaffirms the bully's position. It's not a healthy situation.
Yeah, but it's just an area that I know parents need to be really cognizant of, or adults in children's lives need to be really cognizant of, because it is a real thing. The bullying is a real thing. And now you have cyberbullying, Matthew. You know, kids don't always say it to your face. You know, they'll say it online. So it is something that we really do need to pay attention to. But thank you for sharing that. And thank you for being vulnerable. I think it will help some people. But I want to go on. So you ended up graduating from SLU. You got a BS in computer science. And I met you after you'd found Contegix. And I think that was, I want to say 2004.
Correct.
But you also had a company before that, that you had founded with, I think it's Craig.
McElroy. Yeah.
McElroy. Yeah. I want to read something because I told you, I see so many things in you, and we'll talk about this a little bit, but here's a quote from him. From the time I first had the opportunity to work with Matthew, I've been confident he is the most passionately driven individual I have ever known. And I would definitely, in knowing you, passion is one of those words that I would describe you as, amongst others that we'll talk about. But, you know, what is so amazing to me is you founded that first company. Matthew, I think you were only 3 years out of school. I mean, what in the world? What did you know 3 years out of school?
You know, my parents were both in a union, and they had a different view of how companies and the workers work together. And I was blessed to work at Worldwide Technology when it was under 175 employees. So I saw what a good culture can do. And I just knew that I was going to bet on myself, you know, and I say all that, let's be clear. Everybody that talks about their history and the glory days of it, it's actually truly revisionistic history. Let's just be honest with that. And I will say the big thing that matters is when we took what became Contegix to, this is our full time, we're all in, we're betting the farm on it. And that's actually not too off from being more literal than figurative, because my wife and I got down to about $37 in our bank account with three kids in tow.
Wow.
But it was my wife being pregnant with our second kid, Gabe. He was about to come in 5-6 weeks. We had an 11-month-old in the other room because our two oldest kids are about just under 13 months apart. And she had this moment where I don't know if it was just exhaustion because she was working full time. I don't know if it was, I just need to go to sleep. This guy won't leave me alone. Did not understand I'm carrying a baby and we have a baby in the other room. She said to me one day, what is going on? And I said, I think I want to take Contegix full time. And her words were, you don't get to tell Avery and you don't get to tell Gabe to follow their dreams if you don't follow yours. It just makes you a hypocrite.
I love it.
And you better go figure out how to do this and don't jeopardize our family. And I hinted at this a little bit when we were talking about my upbringing, you know, and I don't mean to sound condescending to what my parents were capable of doing, because I feel extremely blessed and grateful for all that. Mm-hmm. They worked hard. My dad and my mom worked hard. My dad did over 100 days of 12-hour shifts. Like, you can't say that that human being was not committed to his family, wasn't working hard.
Right.
But it also taught me that my happiness was not linked to money. And I stand by the statement that still to this day, that money is actually more of an amplifier to a human being. It doesn't change them. And so for Courtney, who also grew up with very modest means, she was like, listen, we can be happy. And what we have in terms of money and wealth is not directly linked to that equation. It adds stress. It can create a lot of drama. That's also a choice. And we got down to $37 in our bank account and borrowed money on a home equity loan to go buy groceries for our family. So there's revisionistic history there. I am extremely grateful for what she did, and I'm extremely grateful for Craig. Getting Craig to talk is a very difficult thing. And it's, you know, it's why we worked so well together, because I won't shut up. And he's very reserved with his words. And I could probably spend 2 hours on this podcast talking about what a phenomenal human being, business partner he was, and how we did truly supplement and complement each other.
Oh my goodness, Matthew, there is so much packed in there. I love Courtney. I love that wife that said, go and follow your dream. Don't tell our kids to do that if you're not willing to do it yourself. That's hypocrisy. So wise. So much of what you just said, I just absolutely love. But we need to take a quick break and we'll be right back with Matthew Porter.
Let's face it, the future is mobile. There's a good chance that you are listening to this show right now on your phone. Have you explored how you can move your business mobile too? Our mobile apps team at Technology Partners makes it their mission to move our clients into the hands of their employees and customers and change their business processes to meet the demands of their users. Let's work together and build a dynamic mobile app for your team. Go to tpi.co/mobile apps and get the conversation started about how we can help you get your new application off the ground.
So welcome back to the Something Extra podcast with Matthew Porter. So Matthew, we just talked about Contegix. You move in the software development company that you started more into the IT hosting because you saw that there was a gap there in cybersecurity. Tell us a little bit about Contegix and that journey, and then we'll get into a few other things.
So Craig and I started Contegix because we really needed a place to host some of the software that we were writing. And I'd had a horrible experience with another company where the software that we wrote was perfect and did everything it was supposed to, but the managed hosting provider, the cloud provider at the time, wasn't doing what they were supposed to be doing. So I get called at 2:17 in the morning one day, and my customer, the people we wrote the software for, they're screaming at me, telling me I am a horrible person. I've damaged their business. And it really had nothing to do with the software we wrote. It had everything to do with the servers and the infrastructure. The database servers had filled up in hard drive space. No alerts were sent out. So it just got to, if I'm going to get called, I'm going to get paid.
Right.
And I prefer not to get cussed at either.
Right.
So Craig and I inevitably end up selling off two of the lines of businesses and really truly hammering down on what is now known as cloud computing, managed hosting, those DevOps managed service. We were an overnight, you know, unknown failure for a long number of years and over a decade. And then all of a sudden we became an overnight success.
Yes.
You know, we sold 4.5 years ago to private equity, and we both still own a portion of it. I still sit on the board, and it's incredible to see what the company has done. It was an amazing journey, and I'm glad I got to take my portion of that journey and guide the company to that point. And I was also glad that we had an amazing, we still do, a private equity partner, and we're on our second CEO since those acquisitions, because we actually did a big, huge roll-up of acquisitions that became Contegix towards the very end. And it's amazing to see that. We did it because, don't get me wrong, there was a lot of reasons and privileges to do it. None of it had anything to do with my MS. But our big reason for doing it actually came down to Contegix's core values. Mm. We have this core value of rapid accelerated growth. Everybody thought that rapid accelerated growth was about the top line or the bottom line, like how much can we make? And it actually never said anything about finances. It said, we have a responsibility to grow our teammates. Mm-hmm. We have a responsibility to grow our partners. We have a responsibility to grow our customers. And then ... if you take care of all that, financially, it should work out.
That's right. Oh, we could do a whole podcast on this, Matthew. Seriously, about growth. It's so, so important. I love everything you just said there. But I know you've done all kinds of other things. So you sold some of the interest to this PE firm. But I know you've been the innovation officer for Clayco. Then you did a stint with Jim McKelvey's Invisibly, you know, which I think is really cool. And then now, though, you're doing something entirely different. Tell our listeners a little bit about that, and then I'm going to get into a few other topics.
So today I serve as president and chief technology officer at a company called EmpowerMe. It was started by one of my closest friends in the world, a guy named Josh Stevens. Josh bought it out of a bigger company about a year ago, and when I left Invisibly, which was an incredible experience to work with McKelvey and Founders Fund and really get that company turned into a different direction than where it was. I mean, we had the most accurate polling for the presidential election.
Mm.
Period.
Wow.
Like, not contextually put in, like, in St. Louis or in 63105. We had the most accurate polling for the presidential election of Biden versus Trump. Period. And I ended up at Empower Me because I kind of thought after Invisibly that my daughter is my oldest. She's going off to college in a year and a half. Like, I think I'm done. Like, I think I'm done for a while. Josh is growing that company very, very fast. We've gone from 214 employees, teammates on January 1st to 500.
Wow. You've doubled.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
You know, when Josh bought that, he took on an investor, and the investor is an amazing person who does, he says, I always do good when I do well, and I always do well when I do good. And I've known that investor for almost 15 years. And so I stepped in to start helping Josh solve a couple problems that early on, very technology centric, and kind of gave myself the made up title of Chief Volunteer Officer.
I love that.
And they asked me to stay. Josh and the investor asked me to stay. And I was really worried about my relationship and my friendship with Josh and the investor as well. And the investor I love dearly because he can't lie. He just can't lie. And everything he does is with passion and love and care. And he's very direct and he makes it work for him. So he sends me a text message that says, smart people, your value aligned, and you get to help others. What more do you want?
That's powerful.
Yeah. And on that help others, what we do is, you know, we go into senior living communities that are assisted living, independent, and memory care. And we put physical, occupational, and speech therapists there. And they're there to help the folks in that community. They're oftentimes prescribed therapy. They sometimes don't want to do it because they don't know the therapist. The therapist is inconvenient times, but we're there 5 days a week or more. We're right by mom and dad. So when mom gets prescribed therapy and she wants to be able to get back to gardening because she gets prescribed occupational therapy, we get to help her do that.
Yeah. So how could you say no to that? You know, working with smart people, getting to help others. I mean, how can you say no to that, Matthew? So I love that. Well, I want to move into this because I know I started the podcast by saying family first. You are so family centric. I mean, Courtney, Avery, Gabe, and Owen are everything to you, right? And I had read something that you'd written, I think a blog post that you'd written about during COVID, you guys all started working out together. How cool is that? You know, working out as a family. But you guys actually have a family mission statement. I'm a big life plan person. I always say we have business plans for our businesses. Why don't we have a life plan? Why don't we have a plan for our life, right? I love the family mission statement. So tell our listeners what your family mission statement is. How did you arrive at that?
Well, Lisa, let me say that, you know, when you talk about your life plan, I'd be clear. I wish I would have heard that from you because you made it sound a lot nicer than my mentor said it to me. Because years ago, he looked at me, how can somebody that's building this company who I think might be smart be not so smart? Because he just asked me, he says, do you do strategic planning for your family? Do you have a mission statement? Do you have a vision? Because we had all that for Contegix.
Sure.
There's selfless reasons to do it. And if you want to get down the path, there's selfish reasons to do it. Because as the CEO entrepreneur, you don't have to make every decision. So you build these values in and hire to those. So you don't have to. So people do what you would do. And now I think about it and I say it, is that kind of what we want our kids to do and our family to do? So the mentor says to me, you don't have any of this stuff. And I said, no. He goes, okay, so how long are you going to do this job? I don't know, 15, 20 years. Okay, so 15, 20 years, 60 hours a week, 80 hours a week, maybe. Your family's the rest of your life for 168 hours a week, and we're just going to wing it.
Yeah.
So your approach is a lot nicer than his was. So we have a family mission statement. It evolved over time. We actually did this and came up with this and came up with our values and came up with everything by following the old adage of show me your calendar and your bank account and I'll tell you what's important to you. And for us, when we sat down and looked at those two data points, you know, it became clear what was important to us.
Mm-hmm.
So our family's mission statement, which was on my website, trust me, it's not a sales pitch. It's just our family website. It's just porterhome.com. We don't sell homes. It's just the domain we got.
Right. Please don't call Matthew if you want a new house.
I mean, I could point you to a real estate agent, but you do not want me building it.
Right.
You don't want me hanging a light bulb. I mean, you don't want me doing anything. But it starts off with we have a debt to those who came before us and an obligation to those who come after us. We will maximize our life and potential with heart, integrity, and grit. We do all of this together because we are strong together. And then it has the word mostest, which is our family word. Mm-hmm. We have a family word. I mean, we text each other that. I actually, years ago, bought mostest.com from a guy who owned it. Oh.
So where does that come from, Matthew? Like, I love you the mostest?
Yeah, it comes from our daughter who, I love you more. And that, you know,
yes.
So they got a little bit of my competitive gene and my wife's competitive gene, but hers comes with a little bit more compassion possibly than mine originally did. And so it was, I love you more. I love you the most. No, I love you mostest.
I love you the mostest. Yes.
I mean, to the point, Lisa, that my wife and I have that word tattooed.
I love it. So you gave our EP, who is a new dad, Scott Crosby, you gave him a little tip before we even started, because he is a new dad, and you said, go to this.
Yes.
Tell our listeners about that. I want them to hear it.
So there is a daily newsletter called The Daily Dad, and they actually have a podcast that you can subscribe to where they just basically read it. And every day it's a tip on how to be a better dad. Now, the reality is that the tips are pretty universal for mother, father.
Sure.
It's incredible. I mean, today's was, why are we rushing as human beings? Like, take joy in those tiny little things, like bathing your kid, because there will be a point where they won't want to bathe. And as having a 17, 16, and 15 year olds, I cherish every time I get a hug.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I don't get to tuck them in anymore. Those days have come and gone, and I'll miss them. You want to talk about the merger of family and business and personal. One of the first things that we did at Contegix when we started hiring was, I was like, I can't control when I come home, because we were a 24/7 business.
Yes.
I can control when I get there. And so if you ask my kids today, who drove you to school? They would say, Dad drove us to school. Mm. And Lisa, I was the father that parked the car, got out of the car with them, walked them to the door, and did that all the way up through my daughter being in seventh grade, my son's in sixth and fifth.
See, we've got so much more to talk about, Matthew. Usually my husband, Greg, drives our grandson, Sawyer, to summer camp. But Greg had an unusually busy morning this morning. And so I said, you know what? I'm driving him today. And I cannot even tell you the conversation that Sawyer and I had on the way to his summer camp. Precious. And I'm like, wow. Sometimes we're like, oh, we're so busy. Oh, why do we have to do this or that? But it's like, oh my goodness, those moments. And to your point, you don't get them back. That's another thing I told you, Matthew. There's so much about you. In what year was it that you were diagnosed with MS?
So September 26, 2014,
right? 2010, Avery said something to you. What did she say to you, Matthew? Tell our listeners that really kind of changed a light bulb in you. The light bulb went on and you started changing your life in one regard.
6 years old. It happened exactly 4.5 years to the day before my diagnosis. I mean, to the day. She was in the princess phase of being a little girl, talking about when she gets married one day. And I was tucking her in and she popped up and she poked me in my stomach. And she says, you have a lot of squishy. I don't think you're making it to my wedding.
And you said,
let me tell you, Courtney, what your daughter just told me.
What your daughter just told me. But you took that to heart and you started running.
Yeah.
Now you run these ultra marathons and you're getting ready to do what?
So mid-August, I'll be doing the Leadville 100 in Colorado, Leadville, Colorado, a little over 102 miles. Through Colorado up to 12,600 feet, about 10,000 plus 20,000 feet of climbing and descent. It'll take me about 28 hours nonstop.
28 hours. Unbelievable. I mean, words matter, right? I always say that. And those words from her, really, you're like, I got to get busy and I got to get really healthy. But in 2014, you were diagnosed with MS. And here's what I've seen in you. I told you, I've seen so many things. I see grit. I see resilience. And while you're MS, I know it's not easy, but you have kept such a positive mindset, just so positive, and gratitude. You know, even though you've got MS, you like are focusing on the things that MS has taught you and, you know, the community of people. There's just so much about you that I see. And I just know our listeners are going to enjoy hearing from you and your story here today and reaching out to you if they want to talk more about any of the things that we've talked about. But I have to ask you, this is something extra. Matthew, what do you believe is the something extra that every leader needs?
I think the something extra is paying attention to your talent. That sounds so ordinary, normal, mundane, but I mean truly paying attention to them, because oftentimes what people are trying to tell you is what they need to be successful. They're trying to tell you what they need to be successful. They're trying to tell you what's going on in their lives. And really, they will help you achieve whatever the goal is. But that's the big thing that is something extra. And I'll tell you, at Empower Me, one of the big things that we kind of do is really, truly, and I owe Bob Clark a big thanks on this from Clayco, understanding where the focus should be. Because Bob's focus and all of Clayco's focus is what's going on these building sites. What is going on there that the corporate office is there to support them? And so for us at Empower Me, because most of our people are out in the field trying to take care of mom and dad, memory care, assisted living, we really need to put our focus on them, and we will get out of their way. And to me, that's sometimes something extra. They want us just to get out of their way and be there to support them. And it sounds silly, maybe, Lisa, but sometimes you just need to shut up and listen.
Listening. It's so underrated, but it is so important, listening, because you just said it. Pay attention, listen to what they'll tell you what they need to be successful. If we're not actively listening and paying attention to that, we'll miss it. So definitely people make up the organization, right? So paying attention to our people is so important.
Yeah. I mean, culture is what you do consistently and how people feel about it. That's all culture is.
Yes. So Matthew, is there anything coming up or anything you want to tell our listeners about and how they can get involved?
So John Franco and I, John has multiple sclerosis as well, and he's an endurance athlete. And February of next year, we are going to go do lobbying down at Jefferson City, the Capitol. And we are actually going to run the length of the Katy Trail from my house in Weldon Spring, Cottleville, to Jeff City. It's about 103 miles. So if you want to search for the St. Louis Gateway National MS Society's website, feel free to just follow along. Just be there to support us, because I'll be honest with you, I appreciate the donations, but seeing people's comments when we're going to get to that well of darkness, having run for 20 hours through the dark with headlamps nonstop, hearing people say, go, 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 matters the most to me. And matters the most to John.
Yeah, I love that. We'll definitely go and follow you, Matthew, and your journey there. And I just think you'll have some listeners when you get there after seeing what you guys endured. So
I just hope we're coherent. I mean,
exactly. Oh my goodness. Well, Matthew, hey, I knew this was going to be fun. This was just so much fun for me. It's the most fun thing I'm going to do all day. I guarantee you that. So thank you so much for being on the show. And I can't wait for our listeners to hear your story.
Thank you, Lisa. Thanks for the time.
Thank you for listening to today's show. Something Extra with Lisa Nichols is a Technology Partners production. Copyright Technology Partners, Inc. 2019. For show notes or to reach Lisa, visit tpi.co/podcast. Don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you listen.